1 Samuel chapter 14 is an interesting chapter. It's a kind of a transition. If you remember in 1 Samuel chapter 13, Samuel had come to Saul and had told him that because of his disobedience, the kingdom would be taken away from him. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, which we will look at next week, Lord willing, there is that famous event where Saul is commanded to annihilate is the right word, to completely destroy the Amalekites. We'll talk about the reasoning and so forth next week. And Saul chooses to partially obey God. And as a result, once again, just like chapter 13, Samuel comes to Saul and says, you know, your disobedience is going to cost you the kingdom. But in chapter 14, there's this kind of indecision. There's this change taking place. At the beginning of the chapter, we've already looked at the first few verses, Saul has accumulated, or I should say gathered, a very inferior, a very small army, just a few thousand men. The Philistines have brought their entire army, and just their cavalry alone is 30,000 men, which is 10 times bigger than Saul's entire army. Plus, they have foot soldiers. And the Philistines are planning to whip up on the Israelites quite severely. And Saul, in his indecision, in the beginning of the chapter, is just standing looking at the situation, doesn't know what to do. Praise the Lord, somebody knew what to do. Jonathan said, let's go. Folks, if nobody else around you decides to serve God, you serve God. Amen? If nobody else decides to go, you go. And I love one of my favorite quotes in the Bible, Jonathan's statement to his armor bearer. He says, God can save by many or God can save by few. And because, folks, you plus God, no matter how many enemy there are, when it's you and God versus the enemy, you are in the majority. And Jonathan knew that. Jonathan knew the time to go was now. Jonathan did not even tell his father because I think he knew his father would have tried to stop him. In fact, would have had the authority to stop him. And so Jonathan just said, let's go. And he and his armor bearer went, and they started the battle, and they defeated about 20 of the Philistines. And then as God became involved, the Philistines began to fight amongst themselves. And all of a sudden, what looked like an inferior force, that's Israel, faced by a superior force, that's the Philistines, all of a sudden, God begins to win the battle for Israel. So with all of that, in chapter 14, we're going to get to see some things about Saul that we certainly want to avoid in our life. Some mistakes that are at the heart of his troubles. They are the cause of his troubles. They have to do with his relationship with God. And some three mistakes that he made that are going to ultimately cause him to fail. And they are avoidable mistakes. And now you'll understand them, and you and I can indeed avoid these mistakes. I can't read the whole chapter for the sake of time, but please stand for the reading of God's Word. We're just going to dive into the middle of the chapter here and see just a little bit of the entire story. Then I'll fill in the gaps as we go along. But let's begin reading. I'll read out loud as you follow along silently, beginning in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and in verse 15. The Bible says, there was trembling in the host, in the field, among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers. They also trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked. And behold, the multitude melted away. And they went on beating down one another. Then said Saul unto the people that were with him, number now and see who is gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said unto Ahiah, bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass, while Saul talked unto the priest, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thy hand. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a very great discomfiture. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel, which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day. And the battle passed over unto Bethaven. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, as we read this passage in the book of Samuel, God, we know that you put these verses here for a reason, to teach us some things that can strengthen us, that can cause us to be better servants for you, that can help us to avoid fatal mistakes. And Lord, even as we look into the life of Saul, Father, help us to do so humbly, realizing that we could follow in his footsteps if we're not careful. And Lord, I pray this morning that even as we consider these errors that he made, that we would consider also that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us the Holy Spirit who can lead us in the way of truth, and we can avoid these mistakes that Saul has made, and I pray you'd help us to do so. Father, sadly, we've seen some Christians fall in these ways. Help us to be wise and to avoid making that mistake. Father, I pray for the children today that are in Children's Church, you'd bless them. And I pray for folks that are away from us, some who are traveling, some who are ill, some dealing with other personal matters, whatever that might be. God, care for each of them, please, and bring them back to us safely. And Lord, if there is one in our midst that does not know Christ as Savior, Father, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. And if there is one here today that is drifting away, Lord, I pray that you would also draw them close to yourself. Lord, our hearts are heavy for folks that need to hear this message but aren't here today. I pray you'd somehow reach out to them as well. And Lord, help none to fall by the wayside. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Just want to summarize the chapter for you very quickly. We won't take too much time with this, but in verses 1 through 14, Jonathan goes to battle for the Lord, attacks the enemy. In verses 15 through 22, Saul sees the battle begin, and after some delay, finally joins in. And then in verses 23 to 35, there is a difficulty caused by Saul because he makes this command. He tells the people, until the enemy is defeated, no one's allowed to eat. Which was not from God. It was a mistake. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Ultimately, because Jonathan has not known of this command and has eaten, he is declared guilty by Saul. Saul tries to kill him, but the people stop him. And then the last, I don't know, half a dozen verses, starting in verse 47, just summarize some other battles that Saul had fought, some of the people that served with him. It's just kind of a summary of his kingdom up to this point in time. And we're not going to look at those this morning, but we are going to look at three things that you can see about Saul that are very, very clear, and they're mistakes that I want to avoid in my Christian life, and I hope you'll do as well. They're mistakes that would be easy to make if we're not careful. In fact, they're mistakes that some people, as born-again believers, sadly do make. And before I go any further, let me just say this to you. Aren't you glad that you know you're saved? Aren't you glad that you know that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins? And the Bible says that we are saved by faith in his name. It's not by works. It's not by baptism. It's not by church membership. It's not by doing enough good to somehow overcome all the sins we've committed. That's impossible. The Bible says if we try to work to be saved, that the reward is not reckoned of grace but of debt, Romans 4, 4 and 5. But the Bible says that if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith is counted for righteousness. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I don't know everyone here today, But I want everyone here to understand that we in this church believe the Bible, which says Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth, that we are not saved by keeping the law, we're saved by faith in Christ. His shed blood was shed to cover us for our sins. And even if somehow we were to fall into some of these mistakes that Saul has made, that doesn't mean we lose our salvation, but we do lose a lot. I enjoyed one of the answers in Sunday school, the idea that you and I as Christians ought to have joy. The devil doesn't want us to have joy. The devil's going to rob us of that joy if he can. He's working at that awfully hard. You and I ought to have confidence in God. Amen? Do you realize God has never broken one single promise in the history of history? Not one single promise has God made that he has broken, and he will not break any in your life or mine. Amen? We have the full assurance that the Word of God is going to come to fruition. It's going to come true even down to the very last letter, and even as the Bible says, even to the very last portion of a letter. And I won't get into that right now. But the Bible is true. We can have confidence in that. And even if we fall into these mistakes, I also have some encouraging news for you. It's not too late to fall back out. Amen? Or to climb back out, maybe I should say. Or to have God pull you back out is the best way to say that. But look at these three things we can see about Saul. I hope you'll agree with me. They're pretty obvious in this chapter. The first thing that I could say about Saul, not just from chapter 14, but from chapters 13 and 15, and then even going on past that further into 1 Samuel, is this. Saul enjoyed the blessings of being a king, but he did not enjoy the responsibility. Let me say that just a little bit differently. Saul was glad for all the things that he received because he was the king of Israel, but he wasn't nearly so glad to have to do some of the things that God asked him to do. Now, that'll become very practical to you in just a minute, but let me just show you a couple of things that you can see in the chapter. Let's just look back really quick at chapter 13. I'll just do this one time this morning. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 13, and we'll remind you of what happened in that chapter. There was another battle. In this particular case, the Philistines had gathered together and it's actually a precursor to the battle that we're in chapter 14, but the Philistines had gathered together, and Samuel was on his way, but he hadn't arrived yet. And so Saul, in his impatience, not believing Samuel's promise, went ahead and did what he shouldn't have done. And I'll just read you the one verse here in verse 13 of chapter 13. Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue." We'll stop right there. 1 Samuel 13, 13 and 14. So already we've seen, and even before that, back in chapter 12 and 11, when Saul was called to be the king, even after he became the king, he just went back out in the field and kept on plowing. It wasn't until an emergency arose that he finally dropped his plow and took up the mantle of leadership and began to lead the country. In chapter 13, now he oversteps his authority and does some things he was not authorized to do by offering a sacrifice, which wasn't his job to do. And then in chapter 14, what we see him doing is when the time came to lead the people, well, in verses 1 and 2, they're just standing there watching and looking to see what's going on. They're waiting for something to happen. Saul enjoyed the blessings of being the king. He was willing to take what came from his position. He was not as willing to do what God expected him to do. Now, that translates very easily into a situation that we can find in our Christian lives today. It's great to be saved. It's great to be able to pray, amen? Well, how can you express it? The blessings that we have of being able to come to God and trust God and the promises God's given us and the benefits God's given us and the blessings God's given us, there are many blessings to being a born-again Christian. Would you agree with me, amen? But there are also some responsibilities. You see, Saul's mistake was that he enjoyed the blessings, but he wasn't prepared. He did not enjoy, or he did not determine himself that he was going to accomplish those responsibilities. There are some things God expects of us, amen? Now let me turn that around before you get too worried, because you got awful quiet on me, now I'm worried about you. But let me tell you something, it's a blessing to be able to serve God. And God did not ask that of us which is unreasonable. God did not ask that which is impossible. In fact, the Bible says that there's no temptation which has taken you, which is not common to man, but God has made a way to escape. There is an escape from temptation. And when we succumb to temptation, the Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But folks, Christianity comes with, I'm going to use two words, Christianity comes with responsibilities. I would rather say it this way, it comes with opportunities, amen? Aren't you glad you know what God wants from your life? Aren't you glad you have the opportunity to do anything for God? Saul, in his life, he proved again and again and again that his priorities seem to be much more important to him than God's priorities. I'll look at that some more in just a minute. But certainly Saul enjoyed what he received. We need to be careful not to seek the blessings of being a child of God while ignoring the responsibilities. It's a blessing to be able to pray. It's a blessing to know that you're saved. It's a blessing that God would promise to meet your needs. It's a blessing to have fellowship with other believers. Amen? A blessing to have Christian friends. A blessing to have a church home to meet in and to have folks that care about you. I was exchanging text messages this morning with someone who's ill, and they expressed their gratitude for two things. One of them, that we're praying for them, and secondly, that someone cares about them, amen? And we do care about one another, amen? That's one of the things that God gives us a privilege to do. There are lots of blessings to being a Christian, but there are responsibilities as well. We're responsible to be obedient. Jesus said many times, if you love me, keep my commandments. And those commandments are not unreasonable. In fact, they're for our good. How many of you have a dog? Anybody here have a dog? Okay. How many of you let your dog run free and don't care where he goes? Some of you might. I'm tempted to do that once in a while because my dog is more trouble than he's worth most of the time. But the truth of the matter is, I keep my dog in a safe place, even though he may not like being there. Now, if you don't like your dog, please don't bring him to me. I've got one I don't like already. But still, I care enough about him to at least protect him. And for all the trouble he's worth, he is my dog. People put up fences to keep the dog and to keep them from getting out and getting in trouble and getting hurt. Right behind my house, there are who knows how many coyotes. I can hear them at night. I haven't been able to count them, but I know they're out there. And if you've seen my little fat dog, he has no chance against the coyote. In fact, let me say that again. If you've seen my little fat dog, he has no chance against the coyote. He may think he does. He may like the idea, but it's not good. And so I protect him from things that could harm him. 10 times over, if not 100 times over, with my grandchildren. I keep them safe. When the grandchildren are over, we're watching them to make sure they don't get themselves in trouble and get hurt somehow. Folks, that's what God does for us. Now, one of the things that God did was God gave us commands in the Bible, not because God doesn't want us to have fun or not because God is trying to make our life difficult, but because God knows that the things that He commanded us not to do are bad for us. God knows that the sins that He commanded us to abstain from will not bring us joy. They will bring us suffering and misery and pain. In fact, those are sins that Christ died for. Amen? He paid for our sins. And so God gave us requirements in the Bible, guidance, instructions, commands, not for our injury, but for our good. In the garden, God told Adam and Eve, He told Adam, He said, don't, and I'm paraphrasing, don't eat that. The devil says, oh, no. You don't understand. God's keeping something good away from you. If you would eat that, you would become like gods, knowing good and evil. You see, God didn't tell you the whole story. God is keeping something good away from you, Eve. You really ought to experience this. Your life will never be the same, and it wasn't. And when she listened to the devil, and when Adam listened to her, they changed the history of the world. And you look out today at all the wickedness in this world, it all goes back to one thing. Somebody said, I know more than God. Even though God said, don't, I will. That's where it all started, folks. And until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and takes control of this world, in fact, until there is a new heaven and a new earth, that one sin is going to continue to cause trouble. And then one day God's going to set it all right. Amen? And good news, it won't ever happen again. So what we know is this: when God gives us instructions, they're for our good. Our responsibilities are really our opportunities to have God's protection in our life. Don't mistake that for an obligation or misery or drudgery. And please remember, Christianity comes with responsibility, not just with blessing. Amen? First mistake Saul made. Second mistake that Saul made, we'll spend some more time in the Word of God on this one. Saul put his cause first rather than putting God's cause first. Let me explain that to you after I read the verse. Look at verse 24 of 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 24. The Bible says, the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening. Now watch this. That I may be avenged on mine enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. Now, if you just read verse 24, take it at face value, what Saul is saying is this. I'm the one that's important here. These people have offended me. They're my enemies. And therefore, I just want to make my point real clear. Don't anybody eat anything all day long, because you're not as important as defeating these people. And I want these people killed. And so until they're done for, I want you to not eat any food. And you can see that, you can hear the self in all that. Let me read the statement again. He placed his cause ahead of God's cause. Now, it just so happened that there was some mixing of those causes, because, folks, here's what really should have happened. The reason the Philistines needed to be defeated is because they were God's enemy. Amen? They were the enemies of God's people. They were threatening God's people, and they needed to be dealt with. And Saul, as a servant of God, should have taken the responsibility to lead the people wisely to defeat the enemy. And folks, those of us that have been in a soldier or in the military, we know something. You got to eat to do a good job. That's why they put so much effort into making sure they feed soldiers and sailors and airmen well, is because, what's this old saying, an army doesn't fight on an empty stomach. You've got to have some energy, some strength to do what you do. Saul put his cause first. Now, let me just take that where it's very practical for you and I. There are some things in life that you and I may desire. They may or may not coincide with what God desires, but there are some things that we want. And so what we do sometimes is we take our interests and put them up high, our cares, what we want, what we have set as goals, our objective, we put our objective very high. And then once that's taken care of, we give God what's left. In other words, what we want becomes a priority. What God wants becomes a secondary objective, or something that we'll deal with after the time is all, if there's any left over, or any resources left over, then we'll serve God with that. Let me ask you a question. Does God get what's first in our life, or does God get what's left? Should God get what's first, amen? Here we sit on a Sunday morning. I love coming to church. It's not always easy. There's work and there's times when it's hard to be ready. And to this day, I've been preaching now for several decades. I still struggle with the best message I can and want to make sure things are right. And I want to please God with what I say. And it's not always easy, but being in church is more important than anything else on Sunday morning. Amen? Someone says, but Pastor, there's a good football game today. I don't think God and football are on the same level. But someone says, well, Pastor, there's some great recreational opportunities this morning at 11 o'clock at one of the parks. Well, folks, there's a great worship opportunity this morning at 11 o'clock in church. Who's first in your life? Now, it doesn't just happen on Sunday morning from 10 until noon. If you're just a Christian from Sunday morning from 10 until noon, if that's the only time in the week you're a Christian, you're not a Christian. Christianity is a 24/7 thing. I'm a Christian every day of the year, amen? I'm a Christian every hour of the day. Let me ask you this. How much time do you want to spend in your life with God, not in your heart, not working in your life? I want God to work all the time, amen? I want Him to always be there. When I pray, I want God to always be ready to answer, to always be ready to hear. But can we turn that around? When should I be available to God? So, well, Pastor, I've got some needs. Do you think God doesn't know what your needs are? Have you ever given God a chance to meet your needs? Now, I'm not going to get too deep into that right now, but I'll just say it plainly. If you're giving God the leftovers, you're guilty of making God secondary to some other idol in your life, whatever that idol might be. If you are giving God what's first, what's best, what He asks for, let me just say this as nice and neat as I can. When you put God first, trust me, God can take care of you. Amen? When you put God first, God will take care of you. Seek ye first, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Is that a good idea or is that a promise? It's a promise, amen? God promised when we put Him first, He'll meet our needs. Be very careful. The devil is subtle. We talked about that in Sunday school, and he's going to try to get you off the track. Saul's first mistake, as I mentioned, is he enjoyed the blessings. He wasn't willing to meet the responsibility. Saul's second mistake was he had put his cause first and put God's cause on down the list. And again, it is a privilege. It's an opportunity for us to do the things God asks us to do. There's a third thing I'll show you, and then we'll be done. We're going to jump on down in chapter 14, down to about verse 36. I'm going to read just a couple of verses here. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 36, Saul said, "Let us go down after the Philistines by night and spoil them until the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them." Now just stop right there for a minute. Doesn't sound like a bad plan. Philistines are on the run. Let's pursue them. Let's defeat them. Let's take the spoil. Nothing wrong with that in this particular case. There is a problem, however. Look at the rest of that verse. Don't miss this end. It's really good. "And they said, do whatsoever seemeth good unto thee." Look at this. "Then said the priest, let us draw near hither unto God." Do you see that? In other words, what's happened here is Saul says, "I got a plan. We're going to go clean their plow. We're going to take their things. It's night. They won't expect it. Here we go." And the people said, "If it seems like a good idea to you, we're with you." And then one priest said, shouldn't we talk to God first? Shouldn't we find out what God's opinion is in this matter? And in this is really the sad part of it. In verse 37, Saul asked counsel of God. "Shall I go down after the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into the hand of Israel?" But he answered him not that day. Folks, aren't you glad God's willing to answer? God's willing to answer, amen? You have a need, you have a prayer. The Bible says in James, I have a promise for you. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That verse is not just good for some people, it's good for any believer. God will give you wisdom if you ask him to. But on this day, when Saul finally decided to, okay, let's talk to God, since this priest wants to talk to God, God was silent. Now, the third mistake that Saul made, and I'm done, is this. He had no fellowship with God. And he really didn't find it all that important. That's just at face value. That's a lot of Christians' problems today, isn't it? I just want to ask you the question. Don't answer out loud. Just ask yourself, do you have fellowship with God? Does God hear you when you pray? Does God speak to you through the Word of God? Now, let me say it this way. He wants to. If I could get on the phone right now and I could make a phone call to somebody really important, and I knew that whoever I called would pick up the phone and answer me. So maybe I'd call the governor. Maybe the governor of Arizona could do some great things for me. Or maybe I'd call the president of the United States. Maybe he could do some great things for me. Or maybe I would even call the head of the United Nations. Maybe he could do some great things for me. Trust me, if you try to call any of those three people today, they will not take your call. They have got somebody, they've probably got a machine you'll never get past, much less a human being, but there's not going to be any chance if I started trying to call the governor of Arizona or the president of the United States today or the head of the United Nations, I will not talk to them today or tomorrow or the next day for that matter. But that's okay because do you know what? The God who created the universe is ready to hear from me and from you. Amen? Oh, and by the way, he was ready to hear from you this morning. Did you talk to him? He was ready to hear from you last night. Did you talk to him? He'll be ready to hear from you tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Are you going to talk to him? How important is your fellowship with God? I used to have a job, I don't know, 20 years ago. I was in the ministry, but I had a part-time job, and they paid me by the hour. Basically, they were paying me $1 a minute is what it came down to. And the rule was, you can work as much as you want. In other words, if I wanted to get up at 4:30 in the morning and go to work, they'd pay me $1 a minute for as long as I wanted to work. And it was limited, but I wasn't able to work that much. I could make all the money I wanted. That was very challenging for me because all the time that I spent, I'd be thinking, you know, I could be making $1 a minute right now. And you have to decide what's more important to me. I know people, they get up early in the morning on Monday, and they go off and they go to work, and they get to work early, and they dive in, and they're making money, and they're working hard, and they work hard all day. And did they ever stop to talk to God? Do you see exactly what's happening here? The Philistines are whipped. The spoil is there to be had. What should we do first? Let's take the money. And the priest says, shouldn't we talk to God first? Folks, tomorrow morning, shouldn't you talk to God first? Amen? That's one of the mistakes Saul made. Now, I've been praying about it and thinking about it, and I set out in this series with the purpose of covering the life of Samuel. Samuel's still around, but he's not on the scene right now. And the reason he's not is because of Saul's disobedience. We're going to see him again in chapter 15. And then he's literally going to forsake Saul. And there'll be a couple of more times in 1 Samuel where we will see him. I think what I'm likely to do is to finish up the life of Samuel and move on to another book of the Bible. But as we see more about Saul, if we were to go chapter by chapter all the way through 1 Samuel, and there's a lot more chapters to go, they're not happy chapters. happy things are not happening in them. Saul is trying to kill David. Saul is pursuing David. Saul is seeing all these catastrophes in his land, and David is being pursued and persecuted so much that by the end of 1 Samuel, he literally goes over to the Philistines and says, I can't take any more of this. This man is going to kill me if he gets a chance. I want to stay over here in your camp. At least I'm safe over here. And then at the end of 1 Samuel, Saul dies. Why did Saul's life have to cause such turmoil and such suffering for a man of God like David? Well, it all comes back to what we see right here. Saul enjoyed the blessings. He did not accept the responsibilities. Saul put his cause first and God's cause way down the list. And Saul stopped having fellowship with God. And I just want to tell you this morning, praise God, it doesn't have to be that way. Amen? You have that choice. You can put those responsibilities and that cause and that fellowship at the top of your list, if you will. And God is waiting for you to come to Him. If I know some of you, I'm not preaching to the audience here, I'm preaching to the individual. I know some of you have wonderful fellowship with God, and aren't you glad you do? Amen? Some of you put God's will first and those responsibilities first, and aren't you glad you do? Praise the Lord. But if you don't, here's how good God is. It's not too late. Amen? It's not too late to have a right relationship with Him. Accept the responsibility. Put His cause first. Spend time with Him daily. That's what Christian life's all about. Let's stand and pray.